This is for the men who never settle. The ones who believe only quitters end a game in a tie. The type of guys who choose the bar with the biggest TVs to overcompensate for theirs at home. This is the Lodge mentality. This is Twin Peaks.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Tuesday, October 15th, 2019. Stephen St. John and Nate Buchady with Jake Gutierrez. Today on the show, we'll talk to Buster Olney. You'll hear our conversation with Mizzou head football coach Barry Odom. Buster Olney will be at 7 o'clock, Barry Odom at 7:30. Jeff Penner filling in for Gary Lezak at 7:50. Jeff Chedia will be in studio in the 9 o'clock hour to, make us feel better, worse.
He said he's bringing his fire extinguisher and his hazmat suit.
I think we're going to need that for him, based on what happened to the Detroit Lions last night.
Oh, boy. Mm.
If anyone is going to defend the officials today, I would suggest they don't, because that was awful last night. That was garbage. Why should I care if Detroit or Green Bay wins that game? But I was, like, irrationally mad after watching that game. It's hard for me to remember, like, a game where I felt like the officials stole the game from a team. I mean, stole it. And you get these crazy people sometimes, you'll see, NFL's fixed, NFL's rigged. I mean, I could see a casual fan watching that game, and they say, I told you it's rigged. The NFL wants Green Bay to win. They want Aaron Rodgers to win. I don't think it's rigged. I don't think it's fixed. But good God, that was like the WWE. Was I watching Monday Night Football or Monday Night Raw?
Is war.
I mean, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe. Okay, you make the mistake, the illegal hand to the face the first time,
right?
And it turned the game around. It changed the game. It changed the game. And then they did it again, made the same call on the same guy, Trey Flowers, and it was wrong again.
That's the unbelievable
And that
part.
Also changed the game. And then in between, a clear pass interference. It couldn't be more clear. That should have been called against Green Bay, that also changed the game. Could have changed the game in Detroit's favor, and it was the right call to make, and no flag to be found. It was...
Were they out of time? Were they out of challenges? I mean, could they not have challenged that pass interference?
I don't know. Even if they were, I guess at that point in the time, you give it a shot, but the way these refs have done the challenges this year...
Still.
What gives you any hope that they're going to overturn that?
There's got to be a first time.
I mean, I think they've overturned like one or two this year so far.
Look, and I've already heard some of people, well, Detroit needs to score a touchdown to center field goals. So with that narrative, you're asking Detroit, well, you need to be up by a couple of touchdowns because you're going to get screwed by the refs late. And so you don't just need to outplay Green Bay and beat them by a few points. You need to beat them by two touchdowns or so because you're going to get screwed. It's hard enough to win in Green Bay. It's hard enough to beat Aaron Rodgers without the officials screwing you over. I mean, so really, is that what we're going to point to? Of course, every team would love to score a touchdown every time they're in the red zone. That doesn't happen. That's not feasible. But when a team goes out and outplays the other team and should win the game, and the game is taken away from them by just terrible officiating. Terrible officiating. And we saw plenty of it in the game with the Chiefs and the Texans. Game where DeAndre Hopkins clearly fumbled and it should have been the Chiefs' ball, but there's forward progress. I love forward progress. That's one of my favorite things that's called at Arrowhead Stadium. It always works out so well. The penalty where it wasn't a penalty, where, Travis Kelce apparently could be tackled running down the field. Just tackle him. No penalty. And so But look, we're not going to focus on that, because then if you focus on that and talk about the officials when it's your team that loses, then you're crying about the officials and you're a bad loser or whatever else. And so, like, I didn't care who won that game last night. I probably would have preferred Detroit just to see something different, you know? But what was that? Yeah, and someone just tweeted the NFC Championship. Sure, the NFC Championship game was bad too last year. That was supposed to change some things, and it really hasn't. But I mean, that was a one big call. This was the same call twice in the fourth quarter, and it wasn't illegal hands of the face. It wasn't. I thought Booger McFarland was going to jump out of the broadcast booth, and being a former defensive lineman, you could see why he was so passionate about that. And even their officiating analysts tried to defend it, and then you're like, you're right, Booger. That was not in any way a penalty. And if you didn't see it, can you imagine if that was the Chiefs? I mean, and here's the difference for that game, right? Okay, coaches will get fired because their team didn't make the playoffs. Players will get cut because their team didn't make the playoffs. That division is so close and so hotly contested, that game, those calls could keep Detroit out of the playoffs. Because, for example, if Detroit wins that game last night, they're in first place. They lose that game, they're in last place. That game was the difference between Detroit being in first place and last place. Plenty of season left. But that's a big swing. That's a big deal. And for them to get a road win in Green Bay, that would have been huge for them moving forward, trying to win that division or make a wild card, or gain a wild card spot. Jeff's a Detroit guy, but, you know, I don't know how crazy he'll be about talking about that. But, I mean, I can't wait to ask him. It was just terrible, terrible. The 10 minutes left, 10 minutes left, and Detroit has a 22-13 lead, a 9-point lead. It's 3rd and 10 at the Detroit 45. Detroit sacks Aaron Rodgers for an 11-yard loss. They ain't going to go for it on 4th and 21, so they're going to punt. And so Detroit's going to get the ball back with 10 minutes left with a 9-point lead. Instead, on the sack, which is going to lead to a change of possession, they call the phantom hands to the face on Trey Flowers when he didn't have hands to the face. And that gave Green Bay a first down, and then they went on to score a touchdown on that drive. At that point in the game, you take possession away from Detroit, you give it back to Green Bay, you extend the drive when they didn't deserve to have the drive extended. The drive was over, and people say, well, Detroit just needs to make more plays. They did. They sacked Aaron Rodgers on a big third down in the fourth quarter. And it just doesn't count because the officials made a mistake. They don't get credit for it. And so it extends the drive. Green Bay scores a touchdown. That was the bigger one. Now, it happened again. It happened again on the last drive. They were already going to kick a field goal. They were already going to get a field goal to take the lead. But it robbed Detroit of having, a minute and a half left to try to come back and kick a game-winning field goal.
Which is more than enough time in today's NFL.
Right. But they were not allowed to do that. Again, with a minute 45 left, 3rd and 4, the Detroit 16, Aaron Rodgers throws an incomplete pass, and they're going to have to, they're not going to go for it. They're going to kick the field goal to take the lead. And so the drive's over. They stop the drive, and the refs call illegal hands to the face again on Trey Flowers again, and again it wasn't there. It was not. It didn't happen. They called something that didn't happen. So it extends the drive, and it allows Green Bay to run out the rest of the clock and then kick the field goal. We want to say, your officiating doesn't decide games. Didn't it last night?
Made a big difference.
I mean, my God. And it was the same call. And in between, the pass interference wasn't called.
The huge play. Huge play there.
Oh, I'd have thrown up if I was a Detroit fan. And it was, I'm watching the game, and it was a fun game. It was a fine game between two good teams. But man, it just officiating is not good in the NFL right now. It's not, and maybe they're asking them to do too much. I mean, look, I don't know, but they're not held accountable, and coaches lose their jobs. Players lose their jobs. I mean, you don't know that. That could end up getting Matt Patricia fired if they don't make the playoffs. You don't know that. But, I mean, we ask so much of coaches. We ask so much of players to get things right. What about the officials? They screwed that game up. They screwed that game up. If they didn't cost the Lions the win, if they didn't cost them that game, they took away their best. I mean, I don't know. I think they cost them the game. I don't know what language you want to use. It was just, I couldn't believe it. And then another great fourth quarter comeback from Aaron Rodgers. Well, yeah, he got, they stopped him. They sacked him. They stopped him. Like, what else? Like, who did I listen to this morning? Like, well, Detroit, you just got to make more plays. But they did. And so when you do, it's hard enough to stop Aaron Rodgers in that offense. We've seen him come back multiple times over his career in the fourth quarter. But, I mean, what do you want Detroit to do? They stopped him in the fourth quarter. They were up 9. And they're going to get the ball back. And the official stop? No. Rodgers gets the ball back. Rodgers is too good to get those many chances. And then it ends up, they still had a chance to stop him. Then, okay, yes, they could have. But they already did. Why should they have to stop him twice on the same drive? I mean, that's asking too much of Detroit. And we're not asking enough of the officials. How about just get the calls right? How about get the call right? The coaching staff did their job. The players on that play did their job. The officials didn't do their job. So, Nate, Jake, your thoughts on that? I don't know why. Maybe that's the carryover from some of the stupid calls or the ridiculous whatever that was that wasn't called when they tackled Travis Kelce. Maybe that's just a carryover, and I'm still irritated by that, and I wanted to avoid that, but so maybe that's why I was so mad watching that game last night. So,
well, I think it's frustrating watching a series of bad calls like that all go against the same team.
The last 10 minutes, bam,
yeah,
bam, bam.
I mean, that's usually like one of the things that when I state that I don't think, you blame the refs when you lose. Usually there are bad calls in every game. But usually they have a tendency to even out over the course of time, And a lot of times, even in the course of a game, like a lot of times I think you'll see both teams will be victimized by bad calls through the course of the game, That just seemed like one last night where, and maybe the Packers, if they went and broke down all the game footage, they could show you three times where, they should have gotten calls that they didn't get or something like that. But that just seemed like, man, This is one poor call after another, all going against the Lions.
That's a huge moment in that game. If that sack counts,
yeah,
and Green Bay has to punt, and Detroit gets the ball with 10 minutes left or nine minutes left and a 9-point lead. That's a huge point in that game.
I mean, it's three huge points in the game.
And the momentum of getting that sack and the defense coming off the field,
yeah,
and stopping the Green Bay offense, that's huge.
Well, it also, I mean, look, the Chiefs one was big because, first of all, it was an obvious foul that was being committed, and they threw a flag on it, and then they picked it up, so it, calls attention to it. And these ones were big because it wasn't like there was a no call that you're expecting a flag and you don't get it. These were flags that were thrown for something that didn't happen. I think I see what the ref was seeing in real action, because in both cases, his hand is up right at the shoulder pad, right by the neck, and the offensive lineman's head is like snapping back. I don't know if he was trying to sell it. I don't know if it was just his pose, but for whatever reason, you know, his head was...
Like the second time he was trying to sell it.
Yeah, because his head was like snapping way back, and if you're not on the front side of the play, if you're not on the Lions player's side of the play, it could look to you like, oh, his hand's arm's up here, it's in his face, because that's why his head's snapping back. But it seems like you ought to be sure, if you're going to make that call, you ought to really see his hands are in his face.
And I'll go with Jake here. You make that call once, and you screw it up.
Right.
You better not do it again in the same game against the same guy.
Right.
Yeah. A few minutes later.
I can understand. It's such a gray area because it's not just hands to the face.
You're a gray area.
Well, I looked it up because I was like, "What's the actual rule?"
Because the neck counts. If it's on his neck, so that's hands to the face.
In close line play, a player may not use his hands above the frame of an opponent to contact him in the head, neck, or face with force.
Show the people on TV. Do it to Nate. Put your hands on his face.
The first one was pretty borderline in that regard.
Well, his hands were inside the shoulder pads.
Yeah.
And so I was like, that's such a tough call to make there.
Yeah.
But his hands were inside the shoulder pad, and it could constitute the neck. But that's not what the rule is. Like if someone goes to with force puts their hand. Like chopped someone. Yeah,
everyone agreed that's the
right, and so it's like
wasn't a penalty.
Okay, it was not. By the rule, it doesn't.
Do it again.
Right. That's where I'm like, when that happened, I was like, oh.
Like, what is this?
Right.
It was the same ref both times too, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that's the first two times that Trey Flowers has ever been called for that in his career.
I was waiting for someone to come in and hit Trey Flowers with a chair when the refs were looking. There was like, oh, yeah,
trash can over the head,
some salts in his face.
Right. Yeah. Lay down a bed of tax for him
to
fall
agree
on.
That there should be some sort of reprimanding, a punishment for that referee. Like he, I don't know if you get suspended for a game. I don't know if you fine him. I don't know what it is, but they're. And I feel like the NFL, more than any other sports league I know, they throw their refs under the bus. I mean, when there have been big mistakes, they've taken guys off crews. They've publicly come out and stated that the refs screwed that up. And so I don't know what the solution is. I don't know what the right answer is to that, because I've been, you know, ironically, of course, this was happening on the night where I was fighting with Chiefs fans saying that I think it's a cop-out to blame the refs for the Chiefs' loss against the Texans. And then, of course, a game like this comes along to, like, really push my theory that refs don't cost you a game.
Detroit would have been in first place, and now they're in last.
I mean, that's a huge game.
And even if you're Minnesota and Chicago, you're like, are you serious? Because, that's gifting Green Bay. It's like...
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know what to tell you, man. And I'm with you normally, but like last night, like this is, come on now.
Well, yeah, because we're talking about three massive calls that one was an obvious pass interference. And I mean, they've made such a mockery of this review system with pass interference that I can understand not challenging it because they don't return anything.
And look, if we saw
in the Packers Eagles game, you know.
And if you don't think that was a big deal, if they call that, I mean, Prater is kicking, he's making every field goal from anywhere on the field last night. That at least gives the Lions enough lead to where Green Bay has to score a touchdown then and not win it with a field goal.
Yep.
It just
not to mention running off more time on the clock, everything.
And who knows what would happen. Maybe Detroit goes on to score a touchdown, but they weren't given the opportunity to.
Yep.
But I just feel like last night, if it was the other way around, there would have been dozens of flags thrown from every angle if that would have been Aaron Rodgers throwing that pass.
Sure felt like it last night.
That's right. That's exactly right. And so I don't know.
I can't imagine the NFL wants that. Like I'm with you. I don't think that it's fixed or anything. I don't think the NFL wants the perception that they're out there throwing flags for one team and not the other, you know.
It just so happened that's, you know, one of the stars of the league and the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers versus Detroit.
I think last night what you saw is just is what this league is trending at right now, where the speed of the game is so fast now, right? And the referees are not. The referees, you know, 20 years ago, the speed of play, not the same. The referees were perfectly adequate. Now the game is faster and the referees are not. They're getting older, and that's what I see. That they're not capable of making that call because it's just they're not able to because it's going too fast for them.
Well, how many refs are assigned to watch the entire offensive versus defensive line battle?
I mean, I don't have that kind of knowledge.
My guess is they don't have a set of eyes for every single one, right? Like my guess is they don't have a set of eyes for the left tackle, the right guard, the left
guard.
Right,
for seven matchups, for six matchups.
And so you're trying to scan the field and watch all those things, and you glance over there, and you see a hand up here, and a guy's head snapping back, and you think, right. Okay, that's hands to the face, and you throw the flag. I'm not making excuses for him, but I'm saying it's a...
Robots!
It's a very difficult job.
It is.
It's a very difficult job.
But this is a billion-dollar business.
Right.
Get it right.
Coaching's a very difficult job. Yep. Playing football is a very difficult job.
Those guys put it on the line
every day. Is held to an unbelievable standard. But then the refs can just crap on a game. Like, all right, see you next week.
I mean, it feels like this is what it's been trending like, and now they're trying to, you know, fix it with replay. And
Jake demands satisfaction.
I just, you know, do better.
Yeah.
Do better.
You hear that, people? That's, you know, that's a message to us.
All of us.
Right.
To me. We will take a break. I need a long break. Is the show over yet?
No, man, we got a great show lined up today.
It's not over?
You're going to enjoy this show today.
Am I?
Yeah. Mm-mm. I'm trying to be positive with you here.
I already enjoy it. Look how much fun I'm having. It's unbelievable. We will take a break back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you very much for listening to the show today. Also, last night, while the Lions were getting screwed at Lambeau Field, the Washington Nationals take one more step closer to the World Series after they are able to beat the Cards and Jack Flaherty 8-1 last night. And so now a 3-0 lead for the Nationals over the Cardinals in the NLCS. And tonight they go for the series win with Patrick Corbin on the mound against Dakota Hudson for the Cards. Also, Game 3 of the ALCS, that series tied at one game apiece tonight. Fantastic pitching matchup between Gerrit Cole and Luis Severino. That's actually this afternoon at 3:08, and then 7:05 first pitch for the Cards and the Nationals. And looks like Washington's going to do it. And for a fan base that has had some very bad losses in the postseason over the past decade or so, it's good to see the Nationals a step away from the World Series, especially led by Max Scherzer, who is my favorite non-Royal, because he pitched at Mizzou, Nate.
I've heard about that.
Mentioned that.
Yeah, you've mentioned that maybe a time or two.
Two eyes are different colors.
That makes,
you call him Mad Max.
No, that makes a lot of sense now.
Does it?
Yeah. He's an analytics guy, isn't he?
He's a hell of a pitcher is what he is.
He's one of those baseball players who also enjoys studying the analytics, from what I understand.
You know Mike Boddicker?
He's just like Boddicker in that regard.
Right.
Yep.
What happened to the Cards offense?
I don't know, man. They got shut down by Anibal Sanchez in the first game, and that was a bad sign. In fact, something that you don't know, Steven, on Friday night, I might have played some outdoor soccer, not against Jake Gutierrez, but with Jake Gutierrez on his team. And he had a couple of buddies on his team, since they're Western Illinois guys, who were St. Louis Cardinals fans. Mm. And they had been watching the Cardinals game before they came to meet us to play soccer. And the first thing one of the guys said was, "Dude, if we're getting no hit by Anibal Sanchez, we are screwed."
Yeah, Noah.
He goes, if we can't hit that guy, how are we going to hit Scherzer and Strasburg? And, well, he seems to have been right.
Yeah. Yeah, Noah grew up in Springfield, but, yeah, big diehard Cards fan. And it's like, yeah, he was kind of threw his hands up, like, what are you going to do? But that's continued on. But and that's a red hot, man. They just...
Their starter's ERA in the postseason is 1.59.
Yeah, Strasburg was pretty awesome last night.
Taking the momentum from that wild card game.
Yep.
We've seen it happen before.
Oh, right here in Kansas City. I see what you're
doing. Yeah.
Yep.
That's right.
Who do they see to win between the Astros and Yankees? That series is tied in one game apiece.
Strohs.
I think the Strohs now, they wanted to get it to one apiece because now they get Garrett Cole going to game three, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna take the Strohs now.
Garrett Cole, if it goes that long, he would be the game seven starter as well. So that is shaped up very nicely for Houston. And so go Houston, and we could see a Houston. But how about those starting pitching matchups? We always tease Mike Boddicker about his distaste for the opener and for that approach. But anyone that loves great starting pitching, there are some fantasy matchups that could possibly happen between the Astros and the Nationals. And that would be, I mean, if you love great pitching, that would be a wonderful World Series. And hopefully we get it. But good stuff last night as Washington wins again. They are now 3-0 over the St. Louis Cardinals. They go for the series win tonight. And the Astros and the Yankees, game three, that series tied at one game apiece this afternoon. Back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. At the end of the day, I will say this. A little Eric Bieniemy for you from Arrowhead Stadium yesterday. We had some more Chiefs sound in the 8 o'clock hour. It was a, bad couple of days for former Eagles linebacker Zach Brown. If you remember, he had some not very nice things to say about Kirk Cousins leading up to the game between the Eagles and the Vikings. He said, Cousins, I think every defense is going to want that guy to throw the ball. For me, that's probably the weakest part of their offense is him. Everything else is good. They've got a good running game. They have real good receivers. You just want them to pass the ball. You want Kirk Cousins to get it in his hands. Brown and Cousins played together in Washington in 2017. And so he...
Hey, Zach Brown.
Right. I don't know that it's the same Zach Brown, but...
There's only one, right?
Right.
I enjoy the hell out of Zach Brown.
So he put he threw his former teammate under the bus, said he was the weakest link, and then Kirk Cousins lit up the Eagles. And then after the game, he grabbed this sound off of off the Twitter. It was about 20 seconds of Eagles linebacker Zach Brown surrounded by reporters after the game, and they're asking him about Kirk Cousins. And so Zach Brown's approach was, hey, I'm here to talk about the game. Get any of the questions besides Kirk Cousins? And like one of the guys, that was actually a pretty big part of the game. That, which it was. I mean,
right.
It's not like he badmouthed Kirk Cousins and then Cousins, you know, beat the Bears and like, hey, we're gonna ask you about Kirk Cousins now. Well, you're on the defense and Kirk Cousins just lit you up. And you said that he was not good. And so let's talk about that. Hey, I'm here to talk about the game. Like, that is kind of it is the game, you know?
Yeah.
And so then he was cut. And so then immediately people tweeting at me, should the Chiefs be interested in Zach Brown?
Yep.
And my answer, my reply was, does he play a linebacker?
Yep.
Then the answer be yes.
Okay.
Not saying they should sign him. They should be interested. They should certainly investigate.
Well, I mean, at least, you know, cheer up the locker room, go in there and play some guitar.
Right.
You know? Right.
So, you know.
Zach Brown's kind of like the Jimmy Buffett of today's age, isn't he? Like, he's got all these.
It's funny you say that. This song features Jimmy Buffett. Right.
A lot of songs about hanging out on the beach.
There you go.
So, I was really happy to see that performance by the Vikings since I decided to make the ridiculously absurd decision of starting Byron Pringle and benching Stephon Diggs.
Wow.
Who went on to have three touchdown catches.
You started Pringle over Diggs?
What?
Yes, I did.
Why would you do that?
I probably should be kicked out of the league
for that.
Because I was all caught up in the interview we did with Byron Pringle last week. And Diggs has been pouting and mad, and he's wanted off the team in Minnesota. And, you know,
That's a ballsy move,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, I decided to be ballsy. Yeah. I got him cut off.
Wow.
And it cost me my game because Stephon Diggs had 40 points. I lost by like 7 points in my league.
You'd have won if you'd have started Stephon Diggs.
Thanks for pointing that out.
You know?
Yeah.
Ah, hindsight's 2020.
I'm still four. Yeah. And as Megadeth says, hindsight is always 2020. Right. But and looking back, it's still a bit fuzzy.
Right. If you'd gone to any fancy football ranking page.
Oh, no. The ranking page said that Byron Pringle was going to give me about 2 points, which he did.
And then what, Diggs? I don't know your league.
It said that Byron. It said
like,
that,
even after you found out Hill was going to play, you didn't.
Well, Watkins was out, you know, and that's who he played for last time was Watkins. Mm-hmm. So I thought, you know what?
It's all right. I hope you make the playoffs and don't miss it by.
I'm still 4-2.
If you miss it by one game, that'd
be that could crush me. You can't be giving away games like that.
Jake, you never watched Big Little Lies on HBO, did you?
Never did.
I was a fan of that show. Good show. And I liked Zoe Kravitz. Do you like her in any movies? Have you ever seen her in anything?
I can't put the face with the name right off the top, but I'm sure Zoe Kravitz.
She's she was in the, Big Little Lies is what I know.
Oh, she was in the new Mad Max.
Oh, was she?
Yeah. I remember.
I think she's
in the Divergent series,
she's
right?
Very, very beautiful. Very wonderful.
Zoe Kravitz?
Yes.
Is she?
Yes.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
She looks just like
Lisa Bonet and Lenny Kravitz.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's some pretty good, that's a pretty handsome.
Well, she's
couple
beautiful,
parents.
Yeah. And she's also been selected to be Catwoman in the Batman. And I just wanted—I was hoping to get your response to that. I think that's an excellent choice.
Thumbs up. They've tried. You know, I think that's a great choice. I think she'll fit the role. And let's see. You know,
does that make you more excited to see that?
Probably not. I'd probably be excited to see it anyways.
Robert Pattinson.
We've had a couple Catwoman play in movies. Michelle Pfeiffer being one, Halle Berry being the other. Both did a phenomenal job. The movie Catwoman was not very good with Halle Berry, but I enjoyed Michelle Pfeiffer in the.
She's gonna be good.
Second Batman.
So
is this gonna be one of those like dark origin story ones like the Joker?
Well, I don't know. There's your superhero correspondent in there.
Did you guys see the bit on Saturday Night Live about the Grouch?
I never know what DC's going to do.
She was Lego Catwoman in Lego Batman.
Oh, I like that.
That makes sense.
So.
She has some experience.
I'm a fan.
Thumbs up.
Do you like the Robert Pattinson guy? He's from, you know.
The Twilight, right?
Yeah.
Well,
it's kind of a big deal.
I know. No, I mean, I don't know. I never saw any of the Twilights.
Don't lie.
Sober.
I know for a fact you went to go see those. Did you go see all of them?
No, I never saw a single one in the theater. Mm-hmm. I would never go in
public.
Seems
like you did.
I was busted several times watching all three of them once they.
I mean, busted.
I mean, like. What are you doing? Twilight down here? No.
Did you enjoy the Twilight series in the comfort of your own home?
Yes.
So you liked it?
Team Jacob.
Oh, really? Well, obviously.
Right. So that, you know, that's...
So
you
do
know.
You like... So, I mean, if you like that guy, it's okay to say it.
No, I wasn't a huge fan of him, but I think, you know, I give him a chance. I'll give everybody a chance. You know, it's
cool. Do you really? Because it seems like you don't.
Well, I mean...
Give anyone a chance in
life.
I
give him a chance, and now his percentage of... He's going to have to really do a lot more work than, say, Christian Bale would if, you know...
You're a Christian Bale guy.
Big time.
Aren't you?
Big time. I'm a Chris Nolan guy.
Did you guys see the bit they did on Saturday Night Live about Oscar the Grouch?
I did not.
From Stranger Things. A lot of Saturday Night Live stuff this time doesn't really get me, but they did a, like if the comic world was going to make a dark twist on Oscar the Grouch origin story like they did the Joker. And it's really funny. If you have a chance to watch, it's really funny.
Was that recent? When was that?
It was last weekend. Last Saturday. Yeah. I'll show it to you in the commercial break. It's pretty funny.
We will take a break back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Coming up on the show, we'll talk to Buster Olney and Barry Odom and Jeff Penner and Jeff Chedia. And 8:30, Micah Brown is going to be on the show. Nate, tell us about that.
Well, Micah Brown is a tremendous Kansas Jayhawk. In fact, he was a walk-on on the Orange Bowl championship team, and he caught one of the biggest passes of that game, which was a fake punt that turned into a first down for the Jayhawks that helped them. It was instrumental in them beating Virginia Tech in that Orange Bowl. But he works in television production now. He's got his own TV production company, and he does a phenomenal job. He's put together some great films you and I have watched, documentaries, and he has put together a documentary, a 30 for 30, that's going to air on ESPN tonight. And it's, I thought you would be interested, Stephen, because it's in a world that you quite enjoy, the world of MMA. It's about the rivalry between Chuck Liddell and, is it Tito Ortiz?
Yes.
A big rivalry between those two over the years. And so I thought that it'd be fun for me to get to catch up with Micah because I've known Micah for years, and fun for you because it's going to be a 30 for 30 about, you know, two of the biggest personalities in UFC from back in the day. And so we're going to talk with Micah about that at 8:30. You can watch that 30 for 30 tonight on ESPN.
We'll have him on, like you said, at 8:30 to talk about the 30 for 30, Chuck and Tito, which debuts tonight on ESPN. We'll take a break back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot. Thank you very much for watching us on 38 The Spot. Coming up next on Sports Radio 810 WHB, Buster Olney at 7 o'clock. That's almost right now. Barry Odom, the head coach of the number 22-ranked Missouri Tigers. We'll talk about the win over Ole Miss and the upcoming matchup against Vanderbilt. Jeff Penner filling in for Gary Lezak, who's under the weather. Get it? And who appears to be a little irritated with Jake, based on the text conversation we had last night. Jake needs to apologize to Gary.
Nope.
Push that through.
Not ever. Never.
Jeff Chedia, Chief Sound, all kinds of good stuff coming up between now and 10 o'clock right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.